For decades, Warren Buffett has been the face of American capitalism, folksy, brilliant, and seemingly irreplaceable. His company, Berkshire Hathaway, grew from a failing textile mill into a $700 billion empire spanning everything from insurance to ice cream, railroads to jewelry. Yet a haunting question looms. Can this extraordinary machine survive without its architect? Most assume the answer is no. They're wrong. Berkshire's real secret isn't Buffett's genius. It's something far more durable. Hidden beneath the headlines about stock picks and billion-dollar deals lies a cultural operating system so robust, so deeply embedded in hundreds of companies that it functions almost like corporate DNA. Berkshire Hathaway exists because of wounded pride. In 1965, Buffett was negotiating to sell his shares in a struggling New England textile company back to management. They agreed on $11.50 per share. When CEO Seabury Stanton's written offer came in at $11.38, just 12 cents lower, Buffett felt cheated. His response? Buy enough shares to take control of the entire company. He later called it a $200 billion mistake, admitting he let emotion override logic. The textile business was doomed, but this painful lesson taught him principles that would define everything that followed. Never make hostile takeovers, never liquidate acquired companies, only buy businesses with excellent management already in place, and focus relentlessly on long-term economic value. While the textile mills crumbled, Buffett quietly built something different. In 1967, he acquired two Omaha insurance companies, National Indemnity and National Fire and Marine, for $8.5 million. These weren't glamorous, but they provided something magical: float. Insurance companies collect premiums up front and pay claims later, creating pools of capital for investment. This became Berkshire's financial engine, powering three strategies: reinvesting in insurance, buying minority stakes in public companies, and acquiring entire businesses. Three early acquisitions, See's Candies, Wesco Financial, and the Buffalo News, established the blueprint: strong management, proven profitability, and competitive advantages. Berkshire's Omaha headquarters employs just 24 people, overseeing 300,000 employees across 500-plus entities. The portfolio spans Geico's car policies, Berkshire Hathaway Energy's solar farms, Burlington Northern Santa Fe's railway network, See's Chocolates, Dairy Queen, Benjamin Moore Paints, and dozens more. Acquisition prices range from under $100 million to $44 billion. Profit margins span 1% to 25%. What unites such disparate enterprises? Not financial engineering, something more fundamental. Berkshire's culture emerges through self-selection. Companies only sell if they already share its values. Nine traits define this DNA: budget consciousness, earnestness, reputation-mindedness, kinship, self-starting initiative, hands-off management, investor savvy, rudimentary focus, and eternal perspective. Budget consciousness means understanding any risk can be insured at the right price. National Indemnity built its business underwriting bizarre risks others avoided, calculating odds, and charging appropriately. Reputation translates to economic value. During the 2008 crisis, Clayton Homes maintained a sacred wall between sales and credit while competitors collapsed through predatory lending. No purchaser of Clayton-originated loans ever lost principal or interest. While the three largest manufacturers disintegrated, Clayton became number one. Jordan's Furniture achieves $950 per square foot annually, six times the industry average, through Shoppertainment, featuring in-store theaters and simulated streets. Berkshire offers family businesses a permanent home, maintaining autonomy while providing stability. Rose Blumkin exemplifies this. A Belarusian immigrant who escaped Russia in 1916 with no education or English, she founded Nebraska Furniture Mart in 1937 on a simple credo: sell cheap, tell the truth, don't cheat nobody. Buffett acquired 90% for $60 million in 1983. Rose worked until age 103. Berkshire attracts entrepreneurs who revolutionize industries. Richard Santulli transformed executive jet aviation by creating fractional jet ownership, timeshares for private aircraft. His genius was calculating the core fleet size that guaranteed availability for all customers. International Dairy Queen began when John F. McCullough and his son Alex pioneered soft-serve ice cream in 1927, opening their first store in 1940. John Justin Jr. transformed his grandfather's boot repair business through demanding leadership. Despite his passion for Texas heritage, Justin ironically didn't wear cowboy boots until age 36, adopting them because they were good for business. His marketing genius expanded Justin's appeal beyond cowboys, growing annual sales from $1 million to $450 million. 24 people in Omaha, over 300,000 employees worldwide. Berkshire doesn't oversee traditionally. It provides framework and freedom. Buffett's biennial instructions mandate 6 responsibilities: guard reputation, report bad news early, confer about major expenditures, adopt a 50-year horizon, refer acquisitions to Omaha, and submit successor recommendations. Beyond these parameters, managers exercise their excellence. Charlie Munger explained, "The greatest institutions select very trustworthy people and trust them a lot." Some Berkshire subsidiaries become mini Berkshires through strategic acquisitions. McLane Co., a grocery wholesaler generating $46 billion in 2013, survived the 1920s weather disasters and Great Depression by building efficient distribution. MyTech revolutionized construction with advanced roof truss machinery, closing over 40 deals under Gene Toombs after Berkshire's 2001 acquisition. Lubrizol shows how a sleepy company can reawaken. Founded in 1928 by former Dow Chemical employees, CEO James Hambrick transformed it after 2004 by expanding beyond additives into surface technologies and personal care. By 2011, net income hit $1 billion, making Lubrizol one of Berkshire's Fabulous Five non-insurance companies. In an era obsessed with disruption, Berkshire's preference for rudimentary businesses seems quaint. From insurance to furniture, energy to chocolate, these aren't industries that excite venture capitalists. But that's the point. Basic industries have existed for centuries and will likely continue, offering insulation from technological disruption. Burlington Northern Santa Fe, an amalgamation of nearly 400 railroads dating back to 1849, exemplifies this. Railroads aren't sexy, but they're essential. Fruit of the Loom demonstrates why modest capital structures matter. William Farley's 1985 leveraged buyout saddled it with enormous debt. Berkshire acquired it from bankruptcy in 2000, restoring its basic structure. The lesson? Flashy financial engineering often destroys more value than it creates. Berkshire provides permanent homes for companies scarred by ownership instability. Brooks Sports, founded in 1914, suffered through 5 owners in 20 years. CEO Jim Weber's 2001 strategy focused on high-end running shoes, initially shrinking revenue to $20 million. Under Berkshire, sales grew from $69 million to nearly $500 million, becoming the second most worn brand at the 2013 Boston Marathon. Weber credits Berkshire's permanent ownership for enabling 50-year investment horizons. Oriental Trading Company, founded in 1932, chose Berkshire in 2012 after emerging from bankruptcy, valuing stability over maximum price. TTI founder Paul Andrews sold his $1.3 billion electronics distributor to Berkshire in 2006, rejecting buyers who might dismantle his company or load it with debt. Helzberg Diamond Shops illustrates Berkshire's unique appeal. Barnett Helzberg Jr. literally bumped into Buffett on a New York street corner. They settled on $167 million, far below other offers, but worth more because it ensured keeping the business intact, maintaining Kansas City headquarters, and retaining all personnel. For families like the Helzbergs, Berkshire wasn't the highest bidder. It was the right home. Since 1993, Buffett has formalized succession plans, splitting his role between a CEO and investment officers. Todd Combs and Ted Weschler currently manage $7 billion each of the $115 billion portfolio, though they'll face challenges with concentrated positions in companies like American Express and Coca-Cola. Buffett's 34% voting control will gradually transfer to charitable foundations, including 500 million Class B shares to the Gates Foundation by 2026. Berkshire's shareholder base shows remarkable conviction. 44 of the 100 largest Class A owners hold over 5% of their portfolios in Berkshire stock, far exceeding typical institutional holdings. Without Buffett, tension could emerge between conviction-driven owners and activist investors seeking short-term gains. Yet, Berkshire's core values offer unique sustaining power. The cultural operating system embedded across hundreds of companies, commitment to permanence, trust in excellent managers, focus on fundamentals, doesn't depend on one person's genius. It's institutional knowledge, reinforced through careful selection of companies embodying these values. In a business world obsessed with quarterly results, Berkshire proves that patience, integrity, and long-term thinking create value compounding across generations. The real question isn't whether Berkshire can survive without Buffett, it's whether corporate America will finally learn what he's been teaching.